I'm Elder John Keane with the Anchor Missionary Baptist Church in Anchorage, Alaska, and today is March the 10th, 2016. I'm providing an answer to a radio question from Liberia in East Africa. I have a question that I've received from Mr. Bindu Sart of Monrovia, Liberia. He submitted the question on January 3rd, 2014. His question is, I would like to know more about the true Church of God because I am a sinner and I really want to turn to the Lord, but I don't know how. Please help me. Mr. Sart, you ended your question with a request. You said, please help me. It is our responsibility to God and personally my pleasure to try to help anyone who wants to be saved. I think you are someone who wants to be saved, and as I'm gathered this evening with the Anchor Missionary Baptist Church, I know we will pray for you as I try to give you the help you requested. I would like to break your question into three parts to provide the answer you requested and change the order somewhat. First, you said, I'm a sinner. This simple phrase reveals some very important information. It indicates you have looked at the bad thoughts and actions in your life and you have concluded they are sin. Calling them sin indicates you also recognize this type of behavior is an offense to God. In this context, the word sin means a violation of God's standard of conduct, that is, a violation of God's commands. But even more than that, when you say I am a sinner, you're speaking about more than doing some sinful things. You have realized your thoughts and actions are full of sin, and the word sinner defines the kind of person you are, and not just how you sometimes behave. Finally, saying I'm a sinner in the context of this question indicates your weakness to change. Being a sinner is beyond your control. You can't overcome or stop this sinful behavior without help. I think this sort of understanding of yourself and your limitations has led you to call yourself a sinner. I'm glad you called yourself a sinner because that's exactly how God sees you. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul records God's conclusion about the goodness of mankind. And these words are taken from several of the Psalms. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 10 down through verse 20. In this section, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Church of Rome, and he says that God has concluded all under sin. And then he says, as it is written, referring to the Psalms that he's going to repeat here. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave, and their tongues they kept deceiving. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Those are all things Paul recorded from various books of Psalms. He goes on to say, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The conclusion is that all people are sinners in God's eyes. In fact, the whole purpose of the commandments God gave us is that all people might know they are sinners. And I'm glad that you have already realized what God wanted you to know, that you are a sinner. Second, you also said, I really want to turn to the Lord, but I don't know how. It's good that you recognize the Lord Jesus Christ is the help you need. I've talked to people who know they are sinners, but they don't want to turn to the Lord for their help. I admit I don't fully understand why, except that these people don't know about Jesus and what he did for them. The reason why only Jesus can help you is because no one else did what Jesus did. Since we are sinners, Nothing we could do would ever pay the penalty for our sins, so that God could forgive us. Without help from Jesus, all sinners, everyone, would face an eternal death in hell and away from God. That is justice for the sins we committed, and God is just. However, God loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus Christ into this world to save us from our sins. How did He do this? He became a man, born in human flesh. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He then allowed sinful men to arrest Him, mock Him, beat Him, and crucify Him on a cross. It was then that He gave up His life for us, while His Father allowed Him to die in our place. Then after 3 days, God the Father raised Jesus up from the dead, giving us hope that we can overcome physical death with eternal life through Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, we can be saved from the consequences of our sins. He took our sins upon Himself, and He paid our penalty to His Father. Justice was served, and God the Father was satisfied. No one did what Jesus did. In fact, no one else could. Jesus is our only hope to escape the consequences of our sins. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That pretty well sums it up. Sin results in death, but God can give us eternal life through His Son Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You also stated that you're not sure how to turn to the Lord. Please don't feel alone in this statement. Truthfully, every unsaved person who gets saved travels the same spiritual path. The Bible describes an unsaved person as dead, blind, and lost. Left to ourselves, we wouldn't know how or even be able to turn to the Lord. But we do have some help from God, so we are not left to ourselves. As we have already stated, God gave us Jesus to take our place and pay our penalty for sin. Without Jesus, we couldn't be saved. But God has also given us His Word, the Bible. In it, we find the commandments that we have broken, which helps us to realize we need to be saved. God has also given us His Holy Spirit, which takes that Word of God into our hearts and convicts or convinces us of our guilt at the heart level, down deep in our hearts. Most people know mentally they are sinners, but that's not enough. Not until they know this in their hearts, which only the Holy Spirit can reach, will they be able to turn to the Lord. Of course, God has done many other things, too numerous to list in this answer, to help us to turn to the Lord. But for now, let's look specifically at His guidance in the Bible for those who would like to be saved. Please notice as we go through these things that God has given us guidance about on how to be saved, notice the emphasis on all your heart. In John chapter 5, verses 24 and 25, Jesus is speaking, and He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Jesus says that we need to hear God speaking to us. We need to hear His Word. It's not in an audible voice, not words that you can hear spoken audibly, but words that are spiritual, speaking directly to your soul. As a sinner, you are dead in your sins, but even in that state, you can hear spiritually. Notice also in this verse that Jesus gave to us, He said, "The hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live." As I said, as a sinner, you are dead. But even in that dead state, you can hear the voice of the Son of God calling you to come to Him. And not everybody who hears, but He says those who hear will live. So the question is, do you hear God's Spirit telling you that you have sinned against God? Do you hear His Spirit condemning you for your sins? Do you hear Jesus saying, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? That leads us to the next guidance that God gives us. In John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, it says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.'" You must come to Jesus to satisfy that thirst that's in your soul. Only He can quench that thirst. You must come to Jesus with all your heart. King David, when he was a boy, had an experience with the Lord that he recalls in the book of Psalms, the 116th Psalm. I would like to read those first 9 verses of that Psalm. David says, "I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore I shall call upon Him as long as I live." Now in that phrase, David is saying he loves God because God heard him when he called out to Him. He describes his state that led to him calling out to God. He says, "The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol," or hell, "came upon me. I found distress and sorrow." He says, "Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life." Now, David didn't record saying anything else. And that's a very short thing to say. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. But it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And it's not with words, it's with your heart. David goes on to say, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me." He then speaks to his soul. He says, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living." It's interesting to note there that David's telling his soul now that God has heard him and has saved him, that it can return to its rest. A clear indication that before that happened, the soul was not at rest. The soul was troubled, convicted, and burdened. But after he was saved, that soul was again at rest. David's emphasis here is the same as mine, that this is something you must do from the depths of your heart. David speaks of a sorrow from the depths of his soul. Let's look at this sorrow for just a minute. What does this sorrow in the heart produce? We talk about a godly sorrow, a conviction, a guilt, a condemnation. What does it produce? What's the result of a godly sorrow? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, it says, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death." So the sorrow, not a sorrow the world might experience, but a godly sorrow, results from the conviction of our sins by the Holy Spirit of God. A conviction, a guilt and burden that leads to genuine repentance. So we conclude you must come to Jesus in repentance for the sins that you've committed. As we read in the Gospel of Luke, "Unless a man repents, he shall perish." The Bible says you must also come to Jesus in faith. Listen to John 8:24. "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Believing that Jesus is your only hope and trusting Him to save you is the only way to escape eternal death. As the Bible says in the book of Romans, you must believe in your heart and with all your heart. Only that kind of faith will touch Jesus. One more thing you need to know to be saved. The Apostle Paul was preaching to some Greek scholars about the reason God created mankind and for what purpose. This is recorded in Acts chapter 17. I want to look at one verse in that chapter, verse 27. Speaking to that, why did God create mankind, for what purpose? Paul replies that they would seek God if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each of us. Paul's conclusion, the one that God gave him, was that we should seek God until you find Him. God is not far away from us, and we are told in the book of James that if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. God wants us to find Him, but remember, as unsaved people, we are blind and lost. That's why Paul said we have to grope after Him. These Bible instructions from God have emphasized the heart. When God says to seek Him until you find Him, the logical next question is, how will I know when I find God? The answer is that you will know in your heart. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, David talked about that. He had the trouble and sorrow, and then he called upon God, and God saved him. And he told his soul to return to its rest. That's what Romans 5:1 says. When God saves us, when we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. The conviction, the condemnation, the guilt in your heart that allowed you to come to Jesus in repentance and faith will be replaced with peace with God. God's Spirit troubled your heart with God's Word and the consequences of your sins, and God's Spirit will give you peace with God when you have truly turned to the Lord with all your heart. For the third part of your question, you said, because you're a sinner and you really want to turn to the Lord, you said, I would like to know more about the true church of God. Let me say, I do believe there are churches of God that are being faithful to God's Word, and clearly, if you found one, they could be of help to you in instructing you about the way of salvation. They might even pray for you, but it won't be their prayers. I also believe there are churches who call themselves churches of God that are not His churches. Their doctrines and their practices clearly do not agree with the Word of God as revealed in His Bible. And if you relied on one of them, they could deceive you about the way of salvation. Earlier I mentioned the spiritual path every unsaved person who gets saved travels. That journey, in every case, is just you and the Lord. There is no room on the path for anyone else to accompany you. It is you seeking after God and Him drawing near to you. It's a journey of the heart in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. So, I want to warn you about relying on a church to be saved. There is much that can be said about which churches are true churches of God and which ones are not. However, you cannot understand much of that information right now. It is enough to know that God loves you, and if your heart is set on finding Him, you will. The best information I can give you right now about one of the Lord's churches is that they will preach the way to be saved just as I have answered your question today. And if you find one that does not, then don't listen to them. Allow me to take just a moment to summarize the answer to your question, which I think basically boiled down to, how do I turn to the Lord? Let God's Spirit and His Word break your heart because of sin. Read the Bible. See how holy God is and how sinful you are. Let this guilt and condemnation be your motivation to turn to the Lord. Honestly, I've met and talked to people, I believe, who have been convicted, but they didn't like being convicted, and so they rebelled against it and ran away from it, and their hearts became kind of accustomed to it, and it didn't bother them anymore. But don't let that happen. Know that that guilt and condemnation is part of God preparing your heart to truly repent and believe. Second, seek the Lord Jesus with all your heart. He said, come to me for help if you have a heavy burden. Can you hear Him calling to you? If you have that heavy burden, that heavy desire that's weighing down on your heart, know that Jesus is there calling for you to come to Him. Come to Jesus in repentance and with faith. Turn away from your sinful heart and turn to Jesus. believing He and only He can save you from your sins. Don't put any confidence in any other man. Don't put any confidence in any church. Don't put any confidence in your prayers. It's just your heart coming to Jesus in repentance and faith with all the heart. And finally, seek Him until you find Him. Don't stop seeking the Lord until He gives you His peace in your heart. Please know that we at the Anchor Missionary Baptist Church will pray for you, and know that each of us have traveled this same spiritual path to our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a worthy journey to make. May God bless you, Mr. Bindu Sart, and all who really want to turn to the Lord.